I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Richard Seewald, founder and managing partner at Evolution Equity Partners, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. To learn more about our sponsor, Evolution Equity Partners, visit evolutionequity.com. Richard, welcome. Great to have you back on with us.
Hey, Steve. Great to be here. Really pleased to speak with you and, again, continue our discussion on cybersecurity.
Well, we learned so much from Evolution Equity Partners and from you, Richard, so it's great to have you as our sponsor for the third annual Cybersecurity Almanac featuring 100 facts, figures, predictions, and statistics. A lot of work goes into this. We have a whole team applied to it for months. The Almanac is popular with cybersecurity founders and CEOs who frequently quote it at major industry conferences, CISOs who use it as statistical data in boardroom presentations. So we want to get some feedback from you today on some of the top-level statistics. Let's start off with one data point that sets the tone. Cybercrime damage is predicted to cost the world $8 trillion this year. If it were a country, then cybercrime would be the world's third largest economy. And unfortunately, cybercrime is the engine that drives the cybersecurity market. Richard, you've been in the industry a long time. If you go back 20 years ago, could you ever have imagined the magnitude of the problem that society and businesses would be faced with?
You know, Steve, great question. I think when you look at the magnitude of cybercrime that we see in the market today and kind of move back 20 years and look at spend in cybersecurity and to the degree that correlates to, you know, the impact that cybercrime has, to some degree, what we saw starting in 2000 when spend in cybersecurity was about $3 billion and moved to about $50 billion over the first decade, tremendous growth. And I think if you did a model and an algorithm on declining growth over the next decade, you'd probably come up with just about the number we are at as we closed out 2020 in and about 200 million, and then forecasted over the next decade and over the next 8 years to be close to 2 trillion in aggregate. So when you look at that trend line, and again, assuming that that correlates to the impact of cybercrime in our society and on our economy, if you just follow that trend line, more or less, we're on target. Now, without kind of looking at and analyzing it, I don't think any of us anticipated the degree, the depth and breadth of impact that it has on society, in part because we didn't necessarily envisage the impact of technology in our society 20 years on. And I think that's where it makes a difference. The fact that cybersecurity and software, particularly the topic of software being the soft underbelly of our society and adversarial nation states, hackers and criminals, understanding that soft underbelly, the ability to hack into infrastructure, organizations, corporations, and cause the type of damage that we've seen over the last two decades is something that we should take into consideration now, because the next 20 years and the growth over the next 20 years is going to be significantly at a faster rate. And the demand for cybersecurity technology and the need for cybersecurity technology to protect against that is front row and center for every organization and government around the world.
Richard, I want to ask you about crypto crime or crimes having to do with cryptocurrencies. They're predicted to cost the world $30 billion by 2025. That's up from an estimated $17.5 billion in 2021, according to Cybersecurity Ventures. Your firm has invested into companies who help protect organizations against this threat. The crypto market has, of course, had its share of challenges over the past year. Do you still see opportunity for new market entrants in the crypto security space?
It is essential that we are able to, and I say we, that includes governments, corporations, anybody that has an interest in protecting their company, and in fact, arguably their way of life. When you think about crypto crime, it's not just the hacks that you hear about, exchanges having X amount of money that is stolen via hack on the blockchain, but it's also the illicit activity that is conducted on the blockchain. There was a recent study by Elliptic that got into the business of how fentanyl is transported around the world and how, in fact, the chemicals around that drug are mixed. And a clear indicator in terms of contributing factor to the speed and the effectiveness of traders in that illicit drug are the fact that cryptocurrency payments are fueling that trade. So again, essential not only from a perspective of defending and protecting digital assets, but also the impact of cryptocurrency payments on crime and illicit activity that has found a friend in terms of being able to finance the capabilities of many of these organizations and adversarial nation states.
So let's pivot, Richard, from cybercrime to cybersecurity to fighting the good fight. We're looking at global spending figures on cybersecurity products and services predicted to exceed $1.75 trillion cumulatively. That's over a five-year period from 2021 to 2025. It's up, Richard, from about a trillion cumulatively over the last period we tracked, which was 2017 to 2021. So that may sound like a very large figure, but IBM put it in perspective. Their Institute for Business Value states that over the next 4 years, the costs associated with cybercrime, $10.5 trillion, annually by 2025, which is according to our figures in the Almanac, it's expected to exceed worldwide cybersecurity spending by 40 times. I mean, just to repeat, 40 times. So that begs the question, Richard, are companies spending enough on cybersecurity and are they spending it in the right areas?
Well, I'll add to those statistics with another. And there was a study done recently that complemented those numbers with an indicator that over that same time period, there is a 10x upside on the current vended base for cybersecurity software growth. That's demonstrable of the demand over the next 8 years for the nature of hacks that we anticipate coming down the pipe, the fraudulent activity that has only increased over the last couple of years, as well as the geopolitical friction that has facilitated adversarial nation states to behave in ways that, frankly, were not the case over the last 10 years. With that in mind, cybersecurity spend over that next 10 years is set to increase dramatically. And the argument for investing in advance and being proactive about that is a valid one. And I think organizations, particularly forward-looking organizations that have the capability and the budget, are actually doing that as we speak now. I think it's the mid-sized businesses, the businesses that don't necessarily that have the resources to do that and do that proactively, particularly in a downturn, are more prone than ever. And that's where we need to put a spotlight on and be able to deliver technologies and products that will protect companies of all sizes.
So a subset, Richard, of the cybersecurity spending, or really a category in of itself, would be cyber insurance. That's a market that is growing from $8.5 billion annually in 2021, that's a global figure, to $14.8 billion in 2025. And by 2031, we expect that to reach $34 billion. If there's any one category that I'd point to where our figures may change and may be low right now, it would be cyber insurance. This is a very hot space. We've seen several cyber insurance providers raise venture capital over the past year. There are companies surrounding this space, such as Security Scorecard, one of your portfolio companies, who benefit. What's your take on this market?
Look, I think the first question you have to ask if you're an insurer is exactly what type of cyber risk you want to be exposed to. And in many cases, I think insurers have stepped back in a recent market and taken that consideration as they're writing policies for cybersecurity insurance. You noted before ransomware. Ransomware payments and insurance have sort of diverged in terms of being an area where insurance companies have wanted to focus on. I think as you see the exploitation of ransomware and the increased impact it has, insurers will step back in areas where simply these types of risks may be untenable to insure.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you think about that, Richard, because we're seeing the same thing insofar as cyber warfare, hostile nation attacks, you know, not being considered part of the coverage. And, you know, where do we go? You know, as we see the greatest risks and the greatest payouts by the cyber insurers, does that mean we could be moving to a point where more and more of the cyber threat is not covered?
There has been some progress made with respect to the idea of shifting risk to software developers in the recent White House paper that was discussed extensively. And the idea that software vendors would be responsible for the cybersecurity that is embedded into software that is developed is one way to address that. You're shifting risk from the insurer to the software developer, and doing that perhaps is one road that we could take. It would require a change in case law, would need to be codified. It would need to change some of the paradigms that general counsels think about when thinking about risk within an organization. But certainly it's an idea that has some traction today. Let's see whether that's a solution.
So, Richard, you're going to be on with us on a quarterly basis. We have so much ground to cover. There's over 100 facts, figures, predictions, and statistics in the almanac. Before you go today, I want to ask you about one more. I follow Evolution Equity, as a lot of people do. You put out a lot of great thought leadership, and I noticed recently you were involved with an initiative having to do with women in cybersecurity. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that and just what you might forecast in the future. Are we going to see more and more women getting involved in the field?
Steve, that's a great question. So Evolution Equity Partners initiated a program with Women Who Code to provide capital and network to enable women who are considering a career in cybersecurity to be able to get the training, the contacts, the network, to be able to gain access to our industry. And it's extremely important to be able to bring in the depth and breadth of individuals that are out there that certainly have the capability, but perhaps might not have the know-how to get into the industry. So we're very pleased with that and look forward to developing that program over the next couple of years.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back on with each other shortly for more cybersecurity stats out of the Almanac. As always, great insight. Look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to talk to you and look forward to our continuing discussion.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. To read the Cybersecurity Almanac, visit cybersecurityalmanac.com. The Cybersecurity Almanac is sponsored by Evolution Equity, an international venture capital investor partnering with exceptional entrepreneurs to develop market-leading cybersecurity and enterprise software companies. Visit evolutionequity.com to learn more.